say, let it go. There's something you got to change. You can't be the same your entire life. Some stuff you got to change up on in order to be. You can't live in a digital world with an 8-track mentality. You got to upgrade, do some things differently. And today I'm going to tell you there's some things you got to produce to be where God wants you to be. John 15, chapter 3 through 7 is what I'm going to read. You all just follow along here with me. It's on the screen if you don't have your Bible there. You are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. He's about to die. So he's given them some farewell sayings so they can live life. He said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I am him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. He said, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish. And it will be done for you. My Father's glorified in this, that you bear much fruit, so prove to be my disciples. The whole point of a Christian life is that you bear fruit. After you get connected to Jesus, you want to see fruit. What is fruit? Fruit is that you can forgive. Well, God, there's some people I don't want to forgive. I want to see bad. In your mind, you could want to see bad things happen to some people. He said, but no, fruit is that you let me work through you and you forgive them. Fruit is that you're a successful parent. You're successful in your marriage. You're successful in your career. God wants you to bear fruit. But here's the question that God challenged me here with this week. And I'll tell you why I got the picture in a minute. What do you have to show for all your confessing and saying that God's going to do great things? What do you have to show for all the potential that you have? I want to show you how to get that potential out so that you see fruit in your life. Anybody seen the movie Lean on Me? I love Joe Clark. Joe Clark had a come to Jesus meeting with Dr. Napier. Anybody remember that scene right there? They went to the playground of an elementary school, and he didn't use elementary words. He used some words. And he said, Joe, out of all your crazy Batman routine and all your ranting and all your raving, what do you have to show for your career? And BFF, I want to challenge you this morning. What do we have to show for? You got up, come to church on a Sunday morning, reading our Bible. There is more to this thing that God wants to show us. He wants us to produce fruit. How do we produce this fruit in our life? It's right here in this scripture. The first thing is this. You got to let the word of God cleanse you. You can't change the word, but the word will change you. I've heard so many people say, man, they don't need to be carrying no Bible because people have done wrong in their life. They don't need to use praising God because I feel fake knowing the things I've done. I'm praising God. Listen, God is worthy to be praised. And I don't care how bad things are in your life, God is still good. And God's word has the power to cleanse you. You cannot change it. I take the word like medicine every morning. I read it and I get it in my spirit and it builds my faith. The more you read the word, I don't care how you feel, the word will change you and it builds your faith. I want to challenge you. I'm winning as a preacher and as a teacher if you'll get up and read the word and confess it over your life. Because here's the thing about God's word, it cleanses you. Yes. Does anybody live with somebody who just a neat freak and they clean everything? Yes. I was raised by one. Mama didn't play. She had us dusting the walls in the house. We had assignments. Everything had to be out of the dish, the sink. Mama was a clean freak. Then I married a lady who loves to clean. Every hotel we go to, she's buying Lysol. She's buying Clorox wipes. I don't know who's been in here before us. Y'all may know that person. She doesn't go anywhere. But do you know why she's cleaning? She's cleaning because she wants to stay. You ever done something? Don't even raise your hand on this. But you ever done something after you did it? You had this yuck feeling inside. You know you shouldn't have done it. It was why did I do this? This is not me. And that feeling on the inside of you that makes you feel, you feel like the worst person in the world. What if that is not Satan trying to beat you up? What if that's God on the inside of you cleaning, saying, I want to change you. I can't stay in an unclean temple. And I'm not going to stay in a place that's dirty. What if that's God's way of showing you his goodness? to showing you and reminding you, this is not who you are. This is not what I've created you to be. I want to challenge you. I don't care what's going on in your life. Your finances may be broke down. You can't even make ends meet. Your ends don't even look around the corner at each other. But if you'll take the word and apply it to your life, God will make things come together because the word has cleansing power. You guys probably can't smell it in the back, but can y'all smell the aroma of this starting to take over? You know what happens when you stop fussing? When you stop cussing everybody out? When you stop complaining and you start speaking God's word, it sets the aroma where you are. It sets the atmosphere. It sets the state. It says, this is how it's going to be, but you have to let God cleanse you. All right? So the first thing is this. God's word cleanses you. That's how you produce fruit. The next thing is this. You change the culture in your life, and the game will be changed in your life. Verse 4 says this. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. So neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. Somebody say much fruit. Your life has a culture. Whether you realize it or not, your life is producing something. What you are doing, the culture you live in is producing something. There was a culture that was going on in my house growing up, and my dad wanted to teach us about time. My mom would work on Saturdays till about noon, and I was about in probably sixth, seventh grade playing basketball, and I had a little sister and a brother. And my dad would say, Jason, I need y'all to take a bath. I need you to clean this up. I need you to do that. A couple Saturdays, he would just fuss, and we would just sit there and slow around, watch cartoons, eat cereal. You know, that's what Saturday mornings were for, big bowls of cereal and cartoons. And he said, Jason, hurry up. Well, I started playing basketball. And I was on the starting five. And in order to keep the starting five, you got to be there on time, show up at practice. Daddy said, I'm going to show you. I slowed around, so Daddy slowed around. I showed up to practice 35 minutes late. I'll never forget it. I walked in there. My coach didn't say, hello, Jason, how you doing? He pointed straight to the balcony. And I ran the majority of the practice and lost my starting lineup. Daddy said, I'm going to change the culture. Yes. You're going to ignore me. I'm going to ignore you. I never was slow. I don't think I was pretty much late again. I think I'm even trying to fix Jessica's hair. And just, I'm going to put some little bows, little ribbons, little something in there because I'm not going to be late again. Some of us have a culture in our life that we are reinforcing that is not producing what we want. And at some point, you got to say, stop the madness. This is not working. Walk around the house yelling and screaming at each other. That's not communicating. Look to your neighbor and say, how's that working for you? So here's what God wants to do. He wants to set the culture in your life because the culture is the way people act and think that produces results. The culture that God wants is you abide in me. Here's the challenging part. God wants you to have a relationship with him, not an affiliation. The world has figured this out. The best-selling book ever is the Bible. And even successful motivational speakers have taken principles from the Bible and they have adapted them so that they can be successful in life. That's fine and dandy. God said, my word works. People have learned that if you give, heaven opens up, and you're never without when you give. They have learned that if you serve, things will start to happen with you. They will learn if you believe. I don't care what's going on in your life. All things are possible if you can just believe. And I can motivate you to believe something, even if it's a lie, and you will make it come true in your life because you believe it. They have taken those principles, but here's the challenging part. God said, I want me to come with it. When I come with it and not just my principles, you just won't have a successful career and your house life is not going well. I want to invade every part of your life so that my principles work wherever you are. So God says, abide in me. And if I abide in you and you abide in me, he said, much fruit shows up in your life. Scripture says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You know what this statement means? My identity does not come from what I do. Tremendous singer. Tremendous singer. We would miss who she is and who they are if we will say, that's the singer. No, that's the fruit they produce. They would be empty if they tried to live off just singing and having a good name from singing. Their voice is the method that they communicate their purpose because they have something to say. And God gave them a melodic voice so that their purpose can come out of their voice. You are more than what you do. And here is the challenging part. Many of us get our identity from being smart, from being pretty, from being this, from being that. And watch this. You can be the most finest thing in the world, but you can have a car wreck and your nose can be where your ear is tomorrow. And what will be to you then? You all right in here? Here's how God says your fulfillment comes in his culture. Your identity comes from your connection in him. Watch this. Trees bear fruit for the benefit of others. You've never seen a tree eating its own fruit. A tree gets its fulfillment when you nourish its roots. Many of us are frustrated in life right now because you're doing stuff for people that you don't feel like they appreciate it. I'm doing all this for these kids. I'm doing this for my spouse. I'm doing this for my job. And nobody makes me feel appreciated. Can I tell you something? You may not reap where you sow. The fulfillment you're looking from may never come from your kids. Your spouse may not even be able to understand and articulate what you're really looking from them. But if you stay connected to God, there's a level of fulfillment that God would bring. Some of you, perhaps you're on the verge of changing careers because I don't feel fulfilled doing this. Your fulfillment doesn't come from your career. It comes from being connected to God, and God will send you where he wants you to be, but you got to stay connected. That makes sense in here? Because if not, you will start to feel bitter about what you're doing. You ever had a meal from a bitter cook? Sit down, y'all eat this chicken. Cook for y'all, and y'all don't even appreciate it, and even show up on time. You ever seen a house cleaned by a bitter person? You ever had a review with a bitter boss? You ever heard a sermon from a bitter preacher? You're going to hell. I look at you right now. I smell sin all on you right now. Hell is enlarging itself because you're horrible right now. I see you. Just bitter. And the reality is, sin does have a consequence, but the other side of it's life. I'd love to hear y'all saying amen. I want y'all to throw rags and turn around and jump. But watch, if you never do that, watch this. I will become a clown and an entertainer if that's what I'm looking for. I want to see fruit in your life. I want you to go to work tomorrow and them say, I'm glad we hired you. I want your kids run up and say, I got the best mom in the world because the love of Jesus is flowing through you. That's the fruit that I'm after. Can I ask you a question? You could be dissatisfied in life, but are you looking for the right fruit? Well, it could be the success that you have measured yourself by is not the success that God wants you to have. Well, I thought by this stage in my life I'd be making more money. Says who? You don't have to be a millionaire to live like one. God will put favor on your life that money can never do certain things that you need. God will make somebody like you, and they'll put you something in your hand that you never imagined. God lets somebody find us with this church, and he put us in such an equity position. Why? Because of favor, not because of our bank account. God wants to change the culture in your life. So this, the culture that God wants when you abide in him, I have an analytical background. So we see God like a pie chart. A pie chart is this. When a piece is missing, we all get a piece. I get 20%. Carrie gets 20%. Barbara's get 20%. Lady Bowman. But once God gives stuff out, it's gone. So we're fighting for survival. God's not like that. If God is blessing your neighbor, don't you size them up. Be like, how's she going to get married? Cute as me. You know her dating past. God, how in the world did they get promoted? And they the dumbest person on the floor. You know we size people up when they get stuff that we think we should have. That's not the way of God. What God would do for you has nothing to do with anybody else. When God wants to bless you, he don't call me on the phone. God has you in mind, and what God has for you, it's for you. But heaven is not broke. You don't have to be in survival mode. God's success is like a string that we all can tap into and be exactly who we want to be in God. That's why there's no need for competition. Y'all don't have to size yourself up by nobody else. You can stand flat-footed and be exactly who God wants you to be. As a pastor, he don't want me to be Bishop Jakes. He don't want me to be Joel Osteen. He don't want me to be Pastor Alan Jackson. He don't want me to be anybody else but Jason Scales. And I can tap into God's resources. And guess what God does? He makes me more of what he wants me to be. But God wants to change the culture in your life. And when he does that, he changes the game. The next thing is this, and I'm through. You got to live with confidence. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, it says, you can ask whatever you wish and it will be done. It says, my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. Yes. And so prove to be my disciples. Notice the shift. If you read John 15 before and you've been here for a couple of weeks, when I started out by saying God takes stuff out of your life. He said branches that don't bear fruit, he cuts stuff out. And many of you in this room have experienced God removing some things. You thought he was removing people, but he changed you. And when he changed you, some stuff just fell off. And you tell them, it's not you, it's me. There's some things going on inside of me. It's nothing personal, it's purposeful. God ends some things. Then God changes some stuff. He said, trees that bear fruit, he prunes them. God messes with you. He wants you to go from good to great. Now he makes this switch and says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you wish. You have to be a parent to understand this, perhaps part of this. Anybody have kids in here? Any of your kids have Christmas lists? That they walk in the store and think money just grows on trees. Daddy, I want the KDs, I want the Kyries, I want the Jordans, and man, the LeBron looked nice. Daddy, let's go look at the jerseys. Russell Westbrook has a $75 jersey up there, and right beside him is Kevin Durant, and I can see myself, like if you put the jersey on, you're going to transform into the player. Watch this, you can have all the gear and no game in the world, and I think that's what many of us do. We have the gear, but do you have the game behind it? You have all the lingo, but is there power behind what you're saying? That's another side note there, but here's the thing. Kids think money grows on trees, don't you, Isaiah? Because he's never had a job. He doesn't pay light bills. He doesn't pay this. But God, now, Isaiah knows there's a certain thing in the house. There's a certain way things run. There's certain criteria I have of him. One of the rules in the house, Isaiah, as long as you tell me the truth, you won't get a spanking. I don't care what happened in your life. I don't care what you did. Just be honest with me. We say, I can't believe that. Listen, I am more concerned about his character than I am punishing the moment. Because if he'll lie to me to get over and get through that moment, his wife is going to pay for that. His children are going to pay for that. His employer is going to pay for that. Because there's a habit that's setting up in his life that if I don't tell the truth, that's why it's easier to get a whipping and punishment than it is to be honest about where you are. So I want to teach him this early. If you just be honest, let's punish this pride. Let's get through all this stuff. He knows that if I tell the truth, I won't get a spanking. So Isaiah in any moment can ask, okay, Daddy, I messed up, but I won't get a spanking if I tell the truth, and I have to honor my word, and fruit shows up. If I'm an earthly father, and I can do that for my earthly son, how much more the Father who is in heaven, who is rich in grace and mercy. When you come to him, he's not reminding you of your past. He's not making you feel horrible. You can walk with a level of confidence, which many of us struggle with. We hate arrogance. We hate pride. But do we really know what humility is? Humility is what it takes to produce confidence, which bears fruit. Because you'll never bear fruit if you're not confident. But you got to be humble first. Humble is this. I accept who I am and the gifts God has given me. I'm going to perfect the gifts that God has given me and produce fruit, but I'm going to give glory to God, and I'm going to ask for what I need when I need it. I would hate for Isaiah to be in his room, and he needs something for class, but he knows he's messed up that entire week. He said, I can't go to Daddy and ask him because I know he's angry and upset with me. You think that's crazy, but we treat God the same way. Some of you have known you have cussed people out every day this week. You have done stuff like, Lord, the church roof going to fall in when I walk in. Ain't no way I'm going to praise God because y'all looking at me strange, but I'm reading your mind right now. Let me tell you about God. When you come to him humbly, his word will cleanse you. And when he gets his word in your heart, your conversation changes. Whereas you would, girl, the Lord bless you today. And may heaven shine on you. And may he be a fence around you so my temper don't get you. God will come in his word. I'm serious. He will change and perfect you. And God cleanses you. But he will never do it if you don't ask. So there's a confidence that I have in God that I humbly come to him. That I ask for whatever I wish, but I'm not asking arbitrarily. When I'm in God, I ask according to his word. Can I show you what that looks like? In order to get fruit in your life, you got to pray God's word back to him. Isaiah 43 and 26 says this, put me in remembrance. That's God talking to you. Put me in remembrance. Let us contend together. State your case that you may be acquitted. Some of you have been riding in your car and been in a mess, and you've been talking back and forth with God, and you've been feeling guilty, and you didn't know there was a scripture on that. God, I know I shouldn't have spent this. I know I shouldn't have said that. Y'all right in here? I know I shouldn't be where I am right now, but your word says I'm the head and not the tail. I am your son. I need you to come perfect me. I need you to come and handle this on my behalf. And what God does before he ever changes a situation, God changes you. And God gets a hold of you because you put God in remembrance of his word. Can I show you what it looks like? Anybody ever deal with fear in here? I'll lift my hands and my feet. I'm a little nervous right now. I'm looking at some of y'all's faces. Y'all making me nervous. I deal with fear every time before I come up here and preach. Lord, why are they coming? I don't know if I'm doing it right. I done put her to sleep right sitting over there. Maybe I throw a towel up in there. All these things are going in my head right now. But I got to quote God's word back to him so it builds my faith. If you deal with fear, you can quote Psalms 27:1. Said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? I'm looking over this room. I can tell I got some ex-fighters in here. Some of y'all shoulders square like you wish somebody would right now. That's what that word brings up inside of you when you say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Who? I wish somebody would. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? God brings that champion. He brings that winner out of you. When you begin to confess his word instead of how you feel, God, I'm going to go out there and mess up. I'm going to quote these things wrong. They're going to look at me crazy. Instead, I look myself in the mirror and say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I be afraid or shall I fear? Anybody ever been in a situation where you ain't know how you're going to get out of? You can quote Jeremiah 32:27 back to God and said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. His Bible says this. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing you break that God can't fix. There's nothing you have that God can't heal. There's no situation that you in that God's grace and mercy cannot invade in your life. So I confess this. God, you are the God of all flesh. And my situation is not too difficult for you. I don't care if you messed up the situation you in. You can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace in the time of need. I believe in God that in this ministry, HIV and people with AIDS can come in, and I don't care what's going on in their life, and they say, God, if you can heal a cold, you can heal cancer, and you can heal AIDS, and we're going to see God heal some stuff in here. I believe in God's going to heal credit scores. I believe in God's going to heal character, because there's nothing that you're in that is too difficult for God. God, I may not have done this in my life, and my children are doing that, and my children are doing this. You can quote the word, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging bread. God, my children will never go without safety. My children will never go without protection. I don't care what they're doing right now. Your word said, if I train up a child in the way he should go, when he's old, he won't depart from it. I don't care what he's doing, if he's selling drugs or doing whatever, you are going to save them in Jesus' name. But what many of us do is we confess our problems. We talk about how bad things are. We talk about this ain't happening and that ain't happening. I dare you to quote God's word back to him and put God in remembrance of his word. And when you get through praying, there was a lady in the Bible in Luke 1:38. Her name was Mary. In this season, we talk about Mary who became impregnated by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came to her, said, you're going to bear a son. And his name, they're going to call him Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary was astonished, but she said something back to God. Then Mary said, behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. May it be done unto me according to your word. When you get through, see how God's going to work it out. But God, my finances are in a mess, but you said you're going to supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Now, I don't understand, but be it done unto me according to your word. God, my body is sick right now. You may have cancer. You may have a sexually transmitted disease. You may have this and that going on. But God, be it done unto me according to your word, because by your stripes I am heal. I'm in a mess right now and I don't know how to get out, and God, I deserve punishment, but God, be it done unto me that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God will deliver us out of them all. Be it done unto me according to your word. Satan is telling you, no, you can't pray that. It's not for people like you. You've messed up too much. You're the one that got yourself in this situation. But my Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And God, if you wrote it, you wrote it for me. Be it done unto me according to your word. I don't care what's going on in your house right now. I don't care what's going on in your life. If you speak this word back to God and let him build your faith, you will start seeing what you speak out of his word versus what's going on in your life. Some of you in this room right now, you may feel like you're about to lose it. Snap in your mind. Don't you confess, I'm about to lose it. I'm about to go crazy. I don't know what's going to happen. No, you are not. You can say, God, let this mind which was in Christ Jesus be also in me. God, you said you would give me peace that passes all understanding. I don't understand and have a clue what's going on right now, but if you'll give me peace, I can go to work tomorrow. If you give me peace, I won't have to take 10 pills to go to sleep. If you give me peace, I won't snap on everybody I see. If you give me peace, be it done unto me according to your word. Some of you as mad as all get out at people right now. You got somebody that has hurt you, and if they don't go to hell but for 5 seconds, you want them to burn. I know you won't say it, I'm going to say it for you. And you say, God, I can't forgive them. He said, yes, you can. They messed up my life. They messed up my credit. You said, in order for me to receive forgiveness, I have to forgive others. I can't do it, but be it done unto me according to your word. And God's word will invade your life and clean every part of your being so that when you get finished, your life looks like the world and not what you've been through. And here's the great thing when I'm finished. When you produce, you'll never look like what you've been through. You'll look like what God's word said. Stand to your feet all over the building. I want you to bow your head for a moment. Many of you in here today are in a place. That stuff you know you need to produce, but perhaps there's guilt. Perhaps there's anger. There are things in the way of you producing what God says is yours. I want to tell you this morning, the word of God can cleanse you. You don't have to walk around feeling guilty. You don't have to walk around feeling condemned. I don't know what I'm feeling in my spirit, but somebody in here, God said, I want you to lift your head up. I'm cleansing you. You don't have to prove anything to anybody, nor do you have to be mad at the world. He said, you can open your heart to me this morning. I want to cleanse you. I want to heal you. I want you to be fresh in me. The first appeal is this. If you're in here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're not saved and you say, I want to give my heart to Jesus. But every head bowed and every eye closed, you say, God, I want to give my heart to you. I want to abide in you. Perhaps you walked away from God because God would never walk away from you. And you say, God, I want to be reconnected to you. Or you say, God, I want to be saved for the first time. You can just slip your hand up wherever you are. I want to lead you to the Lord this morning. Is that you? Well, the Lord bless you. Here's my prayer this morning, that you go and produce fruit. Let this word cleanse you. You may have never read your Bible, but if you just pick it up tomorrow, read the scripture I read today and just speak it. Read a scripture that I spoke over your life, and instead of complaining, speak that word. Let God change the culture in your life, and let God produce a confidence that when you abide in him, you can ask according to his word, and it will be done to you. And Father, I thank you for much fruit. The fruit of forgiveness is going to show up in our life. The fruit of peace. You're going to sleep like you never slept. Anger is going to be gone out of your life. Anxiety is going to be gone because you're going to abide in the word. All those pills you were taking, some of you, you're not even going to need them because God is about to liberate you. Every addiction, every stronghold is going to be gone now. In the name of Jesus, we're going to bear much fruit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you put your hands together and bless God all over the building? Come on, let's bless God all over the building.
Praise the Lord.